And welcome to this mini episode, I guess you could say, of Evil Avatar Radio. It's a mini-sode, I guess is what you would call it. So not really a number on this one. Me and Nick are hanging out in the hotel room, the 8th floor of the Marriott.
Room 831 if you want to come visit.
Yeah, 831 if you'd like to. Ah, man, people are going to be... Oh, fuck.
We're going to edit that out.
So anyway, we just got done with a hell of a day walking around L.A. and the press conferences, which there was only two. We haven't even done E3 yet. We haven't even gotten into the you know...
No, we just skimmed the surface today.
Yeah, really. That's all we did. So, not a lot going on. Well, seemingly not a lot going on, but a lot of stuff going on. Microsoft, out of the gate, you know, no mention of a price drop, no mention of a 60 gig, lots of mentions of other things, though. Tons of other stuff. We got to see new stuff about Fable 2. Of course, it's done. And we'll get into that in a little bit later on. We got to see Fallout 3. First gameplay footage, I believe, of Fallout 3.
First public ones, yeah.
Yeah, and then what else do we get to see? We got Gears 2.
Yeah, and a little game called Final Fantasy 13 was unveiled. Okay, you're not really hearing me, are you?
Yeah, see? You don't talk as loud as I do.
I know, I don't have that loud, booming voice like you do.
This?
I'm not in radio. I work in a cubicle all day, so I don't generally speak. Fuck!
That's how loud you have to be.
Alright, I'm talking louder. Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
I hope we don't edit any of that out either.
We probably won't.
We need that.
I don't want to edit any of this shit.
We're raw and uncut here.
It's radio gaming news with attitude.
That's right. That's the fucking attitude.
And fucked up in this. But anyway, what else did we get? What else? You mentioned...
Yeah, I got to go to a roundtable discussion with Mark Witten, who is the... I don't know what his official title is, but he's kind of involved with... I got to keep talking louder. He's kind of involved with everything that has to do with Xbox Live and that experience. And also Aaron Greenberg was there. He's also involved with pretty much everything Xbox. And they talked about the term is the 360 experience. So you guys have probably seen the new dashboard, the pics and stuff of that.
See, that was revealed today, the new dash. Which we kind of thought it was coming. We weren't sure. I mean, a lot of stuff that they announced was leaked already.
Yeah.
With that stupid survey thing that came out. And so the more that I started going back in my head during the press conference, what else was in that survey? What else was in there that is probably going to start popping up? You know, we saw Lips. We saw some stupid-ass movie game. Sorry, but it's a stupid-ass movie game.
Yeah, it basically looked like a webcam game.
That's all it is.
It's...
I don't know who's going to get it. Then again, I didn't know, you know, who was going to be picking up some of this Wii stuff that has surprised the hell out of me, so who knows.
Yeah, shit sells. That's the
shit sells.
The gaming motto.
Shit sells. Yeah, Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, that was... Nintendo thought it'd be really funny to send a text message to all the E3 press right before the Microsoft conference that said, hey, have you seen the new Wii Motion Plus? And sent out that press release. So I think they thought Microsoft was going to announce their motion controller. And didn't happen. So
yeah, because they had those cameras set up, man.
Yeah,
you think it's a camera issue?
I still think
it is too, because those cameras, as we could see today, yeah, do a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I know that they have a lot invested in that camera technology, and it was pretty cool. What that game did and how it cut out people's bodies and stuff. Automatically.
The movie trailer was interesting.
Yeah. The gameplay, though, is kind of stupid.
Yes. I was being sarcastic when I Twittered and said, Pap looks really excited about this movie game. No, he's totally... I don't know how many people in the room looked really excited about the movie game. But we got all that. We got, the Dash, the release of the Avatars, the Netflix...
Yeah, the Netflix partnership was, you know, that's another thing that's been rumored for quite some time to come, and they finally pulled it off. And I tell you what, it's going to be slick. I got to see, you know, they updated their instant view queue on the website on Netflix's website, and within 5 to 10 seconds, that queue updated live on the Xbox dashboard. So it was pretty impressive. And the party system, they announced the party system, which is long overdue. You can play eight players, can go join a party together, jump from game to game.
And go game to game, chatting, everything else, just all there.
Sharing pictures, look at pictures together, watch Netflix movies together. Actually, as long as everyone's a Netflix subscriber, you can kind of check that out. So that was kind
of
interesting.
You have to be a Netflix subscriber. Yeah, that's one of the rules. You have to be a Netflix subscriber. Although, really cool.
Poor choice of color.
Red.
Yeah, so I got a little Xbox 360 memory stick that we'll give away when we get back to you guys. But the light on it is red. So even the memory stick red rings like Scott's Xbox.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Saturday I came home after doing some travel shopping that I had to do to get ready for my trip. And I was like, all right, I finally get to sit down and play some Civ Revolution. Okay, turn on the Xbox, flip over the blade to my games list, and it locks in the middle. And I thought, well, that sucks. Turn it off, turn it back on, and it's three red lines. It's the red rings, man. So my 360's dead. I don't have one. But hey, they dropped in price. I can pick it. It's a launch unit, and so you know, I'll be getting a new one when I get back in later this week. So yeah, God, what else did we get? The Avatar system, the party chat, watching movies together through Netflix. Like we said, you have to be a subscriber. But if you are a subscriber, is that Castle Crashers?
Yeah, new Castle Crashers screens.
He's going through this stuff that was on the. That memory stick we were just talking about. And there's Castle Crashers. That's a fuck. They didn't even announce that, man.
They didn't announce any of the games that are on Live Arcade.
Normally they're like, ooh, you can find it. It's now. Right now.
Yeah.
All it was were the television shows.
Well, from what I hear, they, you know, they had a certain allotment of time for that press conference, and they tried to jam so much into it, and they just couldn't. So
it was already late, I believe. I think it started late.
It started late. It went late.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, because they, so we got Braid, Castle Crashers, Fable 2 Pub Games, Galaga Legions, Geometry Wars, Retro Evolve 2, Portal, and Uno Rush.
Portal, yeah.
Portal?
Whoa, you got screenshots of Portal? Go back to that. Damn it. That wasn't Portal. Click on the other one.
Click.
Blind mode.
Logos. No screens. Still alive, Portal. That's all it is.
That's it.
Lame.
Still, that was very cool to hear her voice again. That was nice. What else? Okay, going back to the beginning of the presentation, there was some back padding going on at the beginning, but then they moved right into the game stuff, and we had Fallout 3 right then. What did you think of the gameplay footage?
I thought Fallout 3 looked pretty good. I thought they did a good job of kind of like balancing those two gameplay types that caters to two. Completely different.
First person or third.
Right. Well, not just that. Real time versus, not turn based, but, you know, like kind of slow.
When it would pause and focus in on whatever?
You could pause, you could pick exactly what you're trying to do, you kind of some more strategy. So, you know, if you wanted to take your time going through it and get stuff exactly like you wanted, you could. But you also had the real time, so you could play it like a shooter if you wanted to.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty cool. They didn't show, like, the big thing about Fallout, I guess, has always been like the perk system and stuff. And they only showed really that one perk, which I guess makes everything really brutal, which the game was incredibly violent.
It was. And then we went from Fallout 3, which looked nice, and we're going to get some hands-on time with that, I believe, later this week. I know we've got an appointment, so we'll bring you our experience with... Oh, fuck. He keeps looking at pictures over here, and I keep seeing the everything that was up on the dash. The new dash stuff.
Yeah, I tell you
so
what,
that's the new dash.
It's pretty
sick. This shit? Is that the party?
That's the party you're in.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically a new dashboard. If you've ever seen the media center, the media center.
Yeah, there you go.
It kind of emulates that experience, but it's kind of twisted up. It's real clean looking. Basically, you have a vertical menu in the top left, and going up and down in that brings up a horizontal menu that's real big, like kind of real big pictures and stuff. But one thing I really like, the games browser now has like virtual boxes of the games.
Yeah.
So you can kind of cycle through them. And then what Scott was just talking about, the top right corner, the party system, which you can have up to 8 people in your party, it shows their avatar or gamer pick there. So you can kind of do whatever. You can tool around the dashboard and everything while you're in the party, keep talking, organize games and stuff. One interesting thing about the party system is it'll work with every game, existing games and new games, nice. Which is awesome. So if you want to jump from, you know, Halo 3 to Gears of War 2 to Rainbow Six Vegas 1, you can do that with the party system.
That's kind of amazing, though, to have that implemented in games that were already out.
Basically, yeah, I asked the question because I figured it's not going to happen. It's technically how they're going to do that. They said, you know, when we built this with the framework in mind, you know, we wanted to make sure that we'd have flexibility. And basically, they leveraged the invite system and stuff like that to make this work. So I'm guessing it's, you know, basically they're just like scripting invites and stuff between people and kind of... So it should be interesting.
That'd be very interesting. I'm loving these pictures here.
Yeah? Yeah,
I'm okay. I mean, you know, I'm not hot on the avatar system yet, but with everything that it's giving us, I'm willing to make the trade.
Yeah, I mean, the avatar system's just fluff on it to begin with. You know, it's just to kind of make it more user-friendly or whatever, but...
Yeah. Got an update from Agent Fox while we were sitting here looking at pictures.
Nice job, Agent.
Him and Doc Finger, man, they did a great job today. I didn't have any Wi-Fi, but you, smart one, brought me. Well, next year, if I come back, I'm going to have one of those.
So, let's see. I think that's probably about it for Microsoft. Resident Evil 5.
No, we got to go into those next few games. The one, well, Fable 2.
Okay.
With the co-op. All
right, yeah, let's start there.
Because, was it that one? Was that the... What was the first one that came after... What came after Fallout 3?
I think it was Fable 2. I think that was next.
It was Fable 2, and then it was Gears, I think. And then...
Resident Evil 5.
Resident Evil 5. Or maybe it was the other way around. Regardless, Fable 2, co-op...
Online.
The way that worked... Yeah, was a very different way of, you know.
Yeah, you know, if you ever played Test Drive Unlimited on the Xbox 360, it's kind of like everybody's in the same persistent world, even though they're not necessarily playing the same game.
They're all doing their own thing, but you can see the other players where they're at.
So what happens in Fable 2 is there's these little orbs that... We'll have to find out more details on exactly how it works, but these orbs float around in your world, which represent the players on your friends list that are currently playing and where they are in their game world. And at any time, you can walk up to that orb, hit a button, and invite them to your game, and they'll pop right in and into your instance of Fable.
It was quite seamless.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it worked really well. So
now, is it just two-player co-op?
It's just two-player.
Okay.
Yeah, just two-player. Let's see if they have more info here in the...
In the magic Xbox stick that you got?
Yeah, doesn't say exactly how it's going to work. So we'll have to hopefully hit up somebody during the show and get some clarification on that.
Yeah. But that co-op was neat, the way they implemented that. And then we saw Gears 2 footage, which you were very excited about.
The trailer was fucking awesome.
Just the one where he's dragging them into the...
Yeah, it's called... I think I heard it was called Revelations or something like that. It's up on Marketplace. But just the music, the voiceover, the pacing, it easily outclassed the Halo 3 E3 2000... I guess that was last year's trailer. And then even the Gears of War Mad World... trailer, that one that came up.
You like it that much, huh?
I that was one of the better video game trailers I've seen in a long time.
You know, it's tough for me to get... I'm excited about Gears because it's more Gears play. That's great. I enjoy that. But I guess I'm not as excited... I know I'm not as excited as you are. I mean, Gears, to me... Gears 2 is the same as Gears 1, with the exception of I'm looking at different shit.
Yeah,
I don't really see anything too much new. Maybe okay, fine, new weapons, but
well, there's a lot more guys. Did you see those battle scenes? I mean, that was there.
That's
was nothing,
true.
There was nothing like that in Gears of War 1, especially like when he kind of took the chain gun up on this window, and there's that Brumac guy coming at him, and underneath the Brumac, there's like waves and waves of the locusts running. And he was just freaking like putting them through the meat grinder with the chain gun.
And that'll be fun to do in co-op. And then, of course, he announced the five-player.
Right, there's a five-player five-player co-op mode, which is basically like the Ghost Recon co-op wave. What is it called in Ghost Recon? Basically, it's just an infinite amount of guys are going to spawn, and it's going to spawn in waves.
Yeah, and you can pick any level. You can pick any multiplayer level that already exists, and then it puts your five guys in there, and then... You know, you'll get a small wave of them come in, easy to dispatch, and then it'll get a little bit more difficult, more numerous as well. And then it'll just continue to pile on. The numbers will get bigger, and the enemies will get smarter, and you'll just keep going like that with five people. That's cool. I still want my four-player co-op in the campaign. They gave me two, I know. It's like, oh, God, we give you an inch, you want a mile.
Yeah.
But you know,
you're
I guess...
You're satisfied, are you?
I guess at least we got the
bastard.
Co-op. Shut up. What was next?
Resident Evil 5.
Fuck. That was good.
Yeah, it. So there's another game with co-op.
I know, he got up there and he was like, well, what are we going to do now? Oh, let's do this. So yeah. I was like, oh my God.
And it's not just like a tacked on co-op experience. You can tell that they're really designing the game, like the whole thing with co-op in mind. Like there's... certain environmental puzzles that you'll have to work together with.
So how do you get through that if you're only single player?
I'm guessing the AI guy's going to be with you. It's going to be kind
of... Oh, okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that looked pretty good. You know, one thing I noticed, too, about it, I don't know if you noticed during the trailer, there wasn't a lot of black people. As bad as that sounds...
There wasn't a lot of black people.
Well, you remember, they made a big deal about it, because, you know...
I know, yeah.
But there was... a variety of races represented, so it wasn't just black zombies.
Wonder if that was done on purpose.
I don't know. I'm curious.
Or at least on purpose for this display. I have no doubt in my mind that they are not being racist whatsoever.
No,
in the game itself, but they probably said, okay, in this demo that we're showing,
maybe I don't know. I mean,
mix it up a bit with who they're fighting.
So, you know, equal opportunity zombie slayer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at color. I'm looking at a zombie. I'm looking at something about to kill me. I need to kill it first.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on that. Anyway, Microsoft got wrapped up with a bang for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't...
A bang to Sony, I would think.
Yeah. Personally, I don't care about it too much. I'm not into the JRPG thing much
anymore. No, I'm not either.
But
especially not the Final Fantasy thing.
No. So basically what happened, they invited the Square Enix president on stage, and he showed off the three RPGs that they haven't announced already for the Xbox 360, Infinite Undiscovery, Star Ocean,
and
Last Remnant. And then he kind of went off stage, and we're like, well, what the hell's the big fucking deal about that? And Don Matrick came back on, he started talking, all of a sudden Square Enix guy pops out of, you know, curtain number two. And
does the whole, you know, oh, wait, there's just one more thing.
I almost forgot. How could I have forgotten this? You know, and then,
we've rehearsed this over and over, but I forgot about this.
Yeah. So he said, we want to show you this trailer. It did tell you what it was. And
for a while there, I didn't know what the fuck it was.
It was just gorgeous. Huge, big environments with waterfalls and flying things. And, you know, and then
Final Fantasy is a lot like that stereotype that people have where it's like, they all look the same.
As soon as they showed the first freaking character and the big-ass sword she peeked from behind, you're like, it's Final fucking Fantasy, right? That's all it took. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big gain for Microsoft, and that's a big blow to Sony because it's coming out day and date, just like Grand Theft Auto 4 did.
I know, it's
platforms.
Another one. Yeah.
So.
It's another one they pulled out, so. I wasn't, but man, you know, your little tweet feed, everybody's like, holy shit, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. Somebody asked me, what was the reaction in at the press thing? I was like, it was pretty quiet during that thing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there was applause afterwards, but it wasn't, I didn't hear a big gasp or a big.
I think it took a bit to set in.
Yeah.
Like, I think people almost expected it.
Yeah.
You know? But they didn't realize, you know, the whole magnitude of it until afterwards.
Strange thing. First Microsoft E3 press conference in I don't know how many years that hasn't had Halo featured at all.
No.
Or Bungie.
No. Not a single thing from either of them.
Yet on Bungie's website, they're teasing up a bunch of shit going on right now.
So maybe somebody's going to slap back here with a little
little
Bungie.
I don't know.
Let's see.
That would be interesting. Coming this fall to the PlayStation Network.
Why don't we pause it so I can make this call?
We get a pause. We'll be back.
We'll be back after messages from our sponsors.
Okay, we're back. I had to take a quick break. Where did we leave off? We were talking about Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
we basically wrapped up the Microsoft press conference. So then you went off and did your thing with the GamerScore guys and the other, or the bloggers, whatever. I don't know what it's called.
It wasn't just the Microsoft thing. Yeah, there was a lot of, it wasn't just bloggers. Some people from GameSpot were there, Shaq News. Basically, it was a
was Gerstmann there?
He might have been. There was two sessions.
Oh, okay. I saw him at the EA thing, or the EA at the, Electronic
Arts. Basically,
it
was like a sit-down lunch with a few Microsoft execs to just kind of casually shoot the shit about what we saw. And, you know, they showed us a few other more in-depth of the features of the new dashboard.
A lot of it then was released later that day. Somebody posted over at Major Nelson's site
and had
all the details. Putting your games on the hard drive.
Yeah, they said you can install games to speed up load times. Talked a little bit more about the party system. They talked about the new dashboard. Basically, the old dashboard is included as the new guide, if that makes sense. So the Blade system still lives, and everything that's on the Blades you have now, though it's slightly tweaked, is your guide now.
What do you mean your guide?
Well, you know how the guide slides in from the left when you hit the Xbox button?
Oh, yeah.
That's gone. Instead, the actual dashboard comes up. And it's tweaked a bit, like I said, because the first one obviously is like your friends list and stuff like that. But you can still access your arcade games. You can launch them from any other game. So you can jump between games with one click kind of a thing. You don't have to quit and go out and find the game.
So like when we're in a game, or if I'm watching a movie now, when I hit the guide button on my controller, what comes up?
The old dashboard, basically.
The old dashboard, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of what it looks like. It pops up over it. You have access to your friends list and your messages and all that other shit, but you can get to your media blade, you can get to the systems blade to change settings or whatever, I guess. It literally looks like the old dashboard, just without any of the fancy glitz and stuff.
Right.
One thing that was interesting about the new dashboard is there's no ad space. It's not like on the current dashboard,
that's right.
It's like all the, you have two blocks and stuff. I think it's going to be kind of more integrated into like the marketplace kind of a thing.
Right, when you go into your little party system or whatever.
Plastered everywhere, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else we talked about. I don't want to say too much because I don't know what we can and can't talk about yet. I'm still trying to figure that out.
We've got audio, we just have to figure out.
Yeah, we're hopefully going to be posting the whole audio of the breakfast or the lunch, whatever it was.
It was 2 p.m. I think it was.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, it's really fast. So anyway, we went over to the Orpheum, and that's where Electronic Arts held their press conference. And it started off with, neither of us having Wi-Fi or anything. It was dead.
Yeah, we couldn't even get a cell phone signal to do anything with that.
It was dead space.
Oh, product placement.
That is correct. Well, that's one of the first things we got to see. Actually, no, it wasn't. I actually took notes on this one. I did journalism.
Amazing. Scott Benton, journalist.
Normally, I just hit record and let other people do the work. Now, I actually took notes. So, EA's press conference started. They came out and they said, we're not going to have a lot of stats. We're going to have a lot of PowerPoint presentations. They should have added, until Will Wright comes up here, but his were great. His little PowerPoints and stuff, which I didn't write any of that shit down, but it was great. I'm hoping you can find that online. The first thing they showed us was sim animals.
Viva Pinata with real animals. That was literally,
basically,
yeah.
Very minimal look. It didn't seem like there was there's a lot of interaction. As in, you can plant trees and move shit around, but that's about it. You're it's a giant ant farm, and you can do what you want.
Yeah.
Then they went into The Sims, and The Sims 2 store beta was kind of like it's like a launch platform for The Sims 3, which will be completely downloadable if you want to. Which is a lot in the direction that I think EA is starting to go into. Spore, the Spore creature creator, kind of showed that off It's like, hey, you can download this if you want to. And I believe you'll be able to download Spore if you'd like as well. But it'll be downloadable. It'll be released in 2009. We saw a video of it. There was no gameplay actually shown. A lot of the characters are using cell phones. Seemed to be a new
way of communicating.
Whoa, what the fuck are you looking at?
Fable 2.
Okay, he's looking at more pictures, so...
Sky is very easily distracted.
Well, I am when I'm seeing new game footage, yes. That looks nice.
It does look
That's nice. Pretty. That's pretty. So, back to EA. Wonder if there's anything on that. Have you plugged that in there yet to see if there's anything on it?
Oh, you know what we missed for Microsoft? Lips.
There was like a segment of Microsoft's press conference that I blacked out a little bit that
I gotta say, it actually looks cooler than I thought it would. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but my wife is gonna go gaga over.
Yeah,
because the big thing,
the big thing about it, yes,
you can import your own.
This
music.
I'm still impressed with. Yes,
you can import any song into it to use to sing karaoke to. I mean, if it works as well as it should, you know, as well as they're saying, I mean, that's huge.
It'll be great.
So we'll see what happens with that.
God, you know what else we forgot about Microsoft? Portal.
Holy fuck!
More Portal. What else? Geometry Wars 2.
Yeah.
Uno Rush. I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's a really fast game of Uno.
Depends. If you can mess with those rules, you can make an Uno game last a long fucking time. Yeah. It's like a game of Monopoly. So anyway, back to the EA press conference. We jump around here. That's kind of what we do. The cell phone thing with Sims 3, there was a lot of communication with cell phones going on. Would you please stop looking at pictures? Jesus Christ.
Gears of War 2.
Oh my God, that is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
You've got to post that.
Yeah, I'm going.
That is a beautiful shot right there.
But they really, you know, when they first said that, okay, you know, Unreal Engine 3 got all these updates, Gears of War 2 would be using it. It really looks light years ahead of, not light years. It looks noticeably better than the first Gears. I mean, it's just smoother. But hey, these are only 42 meg each. Jesus.
Only.
What are these people thinking?
High res. Something
that. They're bitmaps.
Yes.
Who the hell uses bitmaps?
Microsoft.
Apparently. They fill up their 8 gig drive.
All right, done with this.
And they're only 5120 by 2880.
Holy Christ!
You know, that's what the actual game runs at.
Maybe on your wall in your basement. All right, so Sims 3, Sims, we're done with Sims. I can scratch that off. Dead Space was shown.
You know, honestly, I was not too impressed with Dead Space.
Really?
It just...
We didn't see much of it. He stuck with that one fucking fight for the longest damn time.
Yeah, I'd like to... I guess I'll reserve judgment, but what we saw, like we were discussing with a few people after the show, like they were focusing on dismemberment as like the whole big thing, and like it took like forever to dismember that stupid thing, and when they did, it didn't even look that good.
Yeah, the fight lasted way too long.
Yeah,
for something being shown at this, that fight lasted way too long. I'm sure that fight's fine in the game, but the fight lasted way too long for just a demo thing. They were demoing it on a 360, by the way, so that's interesting. The game releases 10/21/08, so October 21st. Originally, they said they were going for a Halloween release, but apparently that's not the case. So, October 21st is when you can see that. It was loud.
Very loud.
Very loud. The sound was good up until a point when it was annoying. So, you know, we'll see about that. The next game we saw was Mirror's Edge.
Sorry.
Oh, is Cheapy here?
Yes, Cheapy D is here.
Why don't you say hello to him? Mirror's Edge. Good stuff there. We got to see a new trailer.
Yeah.
And what else did we see? We got to see gameplay.
Yeah, they kind of played through part of the level. Showed kind of what the gameplay is going to be like. It seems, I think you described it best with the whole Prince of Persia.
Well, see, what happened was, it's like, okay, the dude was playing as the girl, and she went into this room and presented a puzzle. She had to get to a certain place, but she had to figure out how she was going to get there. And that reminded me a lot of how Prince of Persia works. You walk into a room, if it's specially puzzle-oriented, the camera does that little pan to show you everything that's there, and then that's when you realize, all right, I have to get from here to there. How do I do it? And that's the same thing that was going on with Mirror's Edge. You were stuck in a room. You had to get from one place to another. How do you do it? And you figure it out. And almost everything is at her disposal.
Yeah.
Anything in the room, she can climb on top of it, jump over, whatever she's got to do, she can get there. They were using a PS3 for the demo. Showed a new trailer. The trailer still had the music from the first.
Yeah,
which I'm hoping they're using that music.
Yeah, the music's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy the music. But still no release date, though.
No.
No word on a release date for Mirror's Edge, unless you guys have heard otherwise out there. Again, we've been stuck in the pressers all day. News can break otherwise. The next thing we were shown was Spore. Will Wright came out, and he had a great speech. If you can find it, download it. It's great. 2 million species have already been created in the Spore Creature Creator. That's more than the species that exist on Earth right now. They're also working with the SETI program.
Yeah.
With this. I don't know how.
Yeah, well, he didn't say.
But he just said that they were working with the SETI program. He was wearing a SETI shirt, actually.
Yeah, because it was like a safe SETI thing, because there's actually some big budget cuts there, and they're talking about closing down that antenna that they're using for it, so...
It's, I love listening to him speak.
Yeah.
It was just great, you know?
Yeah.
I really enjoy listening to him speak. But yeah, September 7th is the release date on Spore. He talked about the Galactic Edition and that sort of thing and some of the other things. But the stat page, and then he went, I hadn't seen this, but the stuff that the users have created, vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah, some
humans.
Some pretty crazy creatures that they had. The robots.
And they made robots. They didn't actually put robot parts in there, but people were able to make robots. Very, very cool stuff with the user creation. Showed off a new trailer as well. What else did we get? Okay, then Peter Moore came out.
Yeah.
This was an interesting thing. It was interesting, for one, seeing Peter Moore at an EA press conference. that's one thing. But yet, you know what? It still felt like a Microsoft press conference.
Yeah.
He still kept bringing out celebrities.
Yeah,
he kept doing his thing, man.
Peter Moore's the fucking man. I mean, he seriously is. The guy knows how to sell stuff. And he even said at that one point, you know, he had Bill Walton on stage. He was a basketball player. Bill Walton, man, he was just going out in the left field.
It's hard to tell if that was scripted or if...
And Peter Moore's like, let's get back to the script here. I have stuff to sell. You know?
So, the big thing with EA Sports is they showed off NBA Live 09, and the thing they showed off with that was the dynamic DNA.
Yeah.
This is an updated daily stat thing for the game. That's basically, it's just numbers, 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 stats, 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 and more stats. If you're playing these sports games, that's the shit you like anyway. So, for it to be updated daily, in other words, whatever the player did the night before in that game, the stats of that game are then input into your game whenever you, the next time you go in there, whenever you update it. And so you have up-to-date stats, trades, anything going on with your roster or whatever. You don't have to wait if they trade mid-season or if something happens, dude breaks his leg and can't play for the season.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's going to be taken out of your game.
Yeah. Yeah, so for the hardcore sports fans, it's... You know, it's something a lot of people have done already, and like, there's actually premium sites out there that people pay money for roster updates, like weekly roster updates, stat adjustments on.
They brought the fantasy games,
yeah,
into the other fantasy games, I guess you could say, NBA Live. We're hoping this was not mentioned, but we're hoping this goes to all their sports games. I don't really see you updating golf much, although with Tiger Woods having stepped out of the season. Maybe,
yeah.
But mainly you're looking at you want your NHL, your NFL,
yeah.
And of course your NBA, and maybe your baseball as well.
Right, yeah, and it's not just raw stats of the players. It was like player tendencies, like where they're hot and cold from. So like the example they showed was a basketball player. You know, when he's sitting at the top of the 3-point arc, he has a tendency to go left or right with the ball. And there was like, you know, at that point, it was like a 68% chance he'd go left versus, you know, 32% right.
And his success rate was going that way.
Right. And then it had kind of like hot zones of where he would be you know, what he, how he is with the shots in there. And all of it was like an overlay that you could bring up and stuff. I mean, really, really slick stuff.
Yeah, for sports people, this is good. I'm not a sports guy. I really am not a sports gamer. But I know a ton of people who are just going to be thrilled with this, especially if they move it into football. They're going to be absolutely just enamored with this sort of updating thing if they move it in there. The next thing he showed us was the All-Play Series, which is basically EA Wii Sports.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of ridiculous because it's just easy mode. That was all it was.
That's
it's
it.
It's stuff that they've had in their games anyway, but they just branded it.
And it's an option. I mean, you know, maybe somebody, you're playing against somebody more experienced, so they don't get some of the help that you get when you play. They're trying to even the playing field, which is fine. Again, not being a sports guy, and then on the other hand, not being much of a Wii guy, I don't really care. But, you know, there's people out there who do. The next thing we had, BioWare came out on the stage. Got a big applause from them. For them, and then they showed us Dragon Age Origins. They didn't show us much. They showed us a trailer, which you've already seen anyway.
Yeah, and it really, you know, like you said, you've seen the trailer. It shows nothing what the game's going
to
be like.
And they didn't tell us much. Just a spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
That's all that we heard, which is already pretty much well known, but that's all. That's it. What happened was these guys would come out. They would show their trailer. When their trailer was over with, the next person would come out. And so, pretty much, that's what you got. So, BioWare came out and said, hey, here's Dragon Age Online, spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate, blah, 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 here's a trailer. Walked off, that's it, that's all you heard. Because the next guy that came on was Gabe Newell from Valve.
Yeah.
Who didn't look too interested in being there.
Yeah, I think Gabe might have tipped a few back before he got on stage or something.
He looked like they had just flown him in or something real quick. He was just like, God, what the fuck?
They drug him out of the barbecue rib bar or something. That was fucking it, man. He was cranky. He didn't get to finish his meal or something. But
he came in, he read everything. Everything that was on the screen, he just read it.
Yeah.
And
read it poorly, mind you.
The best thing about this, it was for Left 4 Dead, by the way. The best thing about this, which comes out November 4th, he talked to us about the AI and how if you're playing shitty, the AI will make it easy for you. You know, yeah. If it's just not going well for you, the AI recognizes this. And he gave us an example. He's like, okay, here's a team who is really low on health and low on ammo. They can't keep their ammo. They're shooting each other. They're just being fucktards. They're just not really playing the game.
It was so ridiculous because
here's what happens in this scenario.
It was 4 seconds long.
It was like 4 seconds long. They came up to the gas station and like bang, 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 shot the guys. That was it. That's done. And I was writing stuff down at the time he started, and then the trailer ended. I thought, what the fuck? I raised my head. I thought, did it break? What happened? So then he's like, okay, here's that same situation, but with a group who have been doing extremely well. And apparently, the AI gets tougher, the battle lasts longer, and the payoff at the end of the battle is more cinematic. You get that whole, you know, you're getting rewarded for playing well. And so that one lasted a good bit longer with a good payoff. I was very surprised with it. The payoff was the gas station exploding. I knew that it was probably going to explode, but it looked good.
Yeah, it was a really nice explosion.
Very, very Hollywood. But it looked the explosion was great. Then he showed a trailer and he walked up. That was it. After that, we had id come out on stage.
Right, yeah.
Big surprise there.
Yeah, because now they're no longer with Activision, but they're partnered with EA for their next game, which is going to be called Rage.
Rage. Which, from what I understand, was not shown on anybody's... It was not allowed to be shown.
Oh, really? So they didn't stream it?
Joystick has a description of it. That's all. That's all they could do.
Huh.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything special.
There was some there wasn't much gameplay, actually, even then. It was just sort of a cinematic thing. That's all it was.
Yeah.
You know, you're fighting again. Looks, I don't know that you're a space marine, but something's going on. And you've got to fix it, whatever the case may be. So, and that was it. That was the end of the EA conference. They're going to have more of Rage, though. More of Rage will be at QuakeCon.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, and that's in Texas in August, I believe. So more of Rage will be shown at QuakeCon. Maybe at PAX. I doubt it, but we'll see. Who knows? If we got some, if I run into them, I'll see if they're going to be at PAX, and we'll see what we can find out from them. So that was our day. That was it. Good day overall. Long day it felt like, but tomorrow's going to be even longer. We've got Nintendo.
Yeah.
Early ass in the morning.
Yeah.
Then we've got Sony right after that. And then we have got a shit ton of interviews and press things. Let me go get my iPhone, and I'll tell you what they are. That's up my iPhone.
Yeah, it's going to be a freaking busy day.
It is. It's going to be a really busy day. Here's what we've got for tomorrow. Nintendo at 9 a.m., Sony at 11:30 in the morning. Got a meeting with Codemasters. Does this mean we're going to have to talk about their movie game? They're the ones who did the Let's Be in Movies or You're in Movies or whatever it's called.
Oh, fuck.
It's Codemasters. Yeah. You know what I want to talk to about Codemasters? Overlord 2. They haven't announced it, but I've heard. I know a guy who knows a guy. And he didn't tell me directly. I was just like, how about Overlord 2? He tried to link me to something, but it didn't work. And all he could do was send me a winky smiley. That was it. So, Overlord 2. I still want to thank him for Overlord. Ubisoft press conference at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. We've got a one-on-one with Valve at 2:30 as well. We may miss the Ubisoft press conference. Since Valve is at 2:30. I would love to split those duties up, but I ain't, no, not with Valve involved. What else we have? Sega at 3 o'clock. We've got a one-on-one with them. Hopefully looking forward to seeing some Sonic Unleashed. I am personally looking forward to that. Yeah. I don't know what else Sega's got that I'm really interested in seeing. But yeah, Sonic Unleashed is something I'm looking forward to. Rock Band 2 playtime at 3:45 tomorrow afternoon. Got the Capcom press event at 4:30. Got a reception with Sony Online Entertainment at 5. The Activision press conference at 7.
Yeah.
Which is not a part of E3, but they're still having one. And then the Bethesda party at 8 o'clock.
Which I don't know if we're going to be alive for.
We'll see. I'd like to still go. It's at the Saddle Ranch Chop House. I'd still like to check it out. And that's our schedule for tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to do another podcast tomorrow.
Yeah.
We might. May try and squeeze one in. We'll see.
If we are awake.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. We need to get some sleep now, too. And then we'll go over Wednesday's schedule then as well. Once again, you know, thanks for everybody. If you want to follow us, Twitter's been working out really well for a lot of this stuff. the guys back at, you know, Agent Fox, Doc Finger, they've been taking great care of the site and posting up stuff. We thought about doing this, and then we're like, well, shit, man, they've already covered everything that we would be seeing, or that we've seen, and that we'd be talking about. But yeah, they're holding down the fort really well, so good job to those guys.
We love you guys!
That was Nick.
no, it wasn't.
Shut up. But yeah, so we've got that going on tomorrow, and you guys are doing a great job of that. We'll try and update as we can. He's got the wireless. I can't get wireless to save my fucking life out here. So even in the E3 press room, no wireless.
Yeah.
Really bad. So I've been doing nothing but Twittering. So if you want to find me, what is it? Twitter.com/PsychoBoy2?
Yep.
Yeah. PsychoBoy2.
And mine's Twitter.com/BAPenguin.
Exactly. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, he'll be updating a lot from his Wi-Fi, though. I'll be updating a lot from the Twitter. So there you go. That is it. Interesting edition of Evil Avatar Radio. I miss the guys. Wish they were here.
But I'm equal to the rest of the staff, so it makes up for it.
You don't have enough anger.
No, I gotta be angrier. I'm too level-headed. I can't go on 15-minute rants on. I don't know.
You gotta be angrier.
Whatever James goes on rants about.
Oh man, I talked to him on the phone today. He didn't go on a rant. But he gave me his thoughts on what he saw, because he watched it. He watched it on G4.
I'm sure he was furious.
He probably was. I talked to him, and I was going to repeat a lot of the things he said, but I kind of want to save him for when we're all together again.
I'm sure he would say them anyway, even God, if he said them here.
He needs his own little page. It's like Fish Bang's rants. But anyway, that's it, and yeah, so not a lot of flash for this episode, but then again, we're on the 8th floor of the Marriott, not going to have a lot of flash to begin with. So that's it for us. We will see you again next time on Evil Avatar Radio. Enjoy the E3 coverage. We're enjoying it out here as well. We will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
potential to do, in particular around how it connects people together, is amazing. And the system that we have that allows us to continue to sort of drive the customer experience has been just a ton of fun. So I'm super excited to be here today. We've been working on this for quite a while, and it's a lot of fun to be able to talk about it a little more broadly. And so that's who I am. We've got a few things that we're going to go through, and then we'll just sort of go around, and I can sort of ping-pong through a few questions with our time that we have here. Aaron's here. He can also answer some questions that you guys might have.
I would love to just hear, like, thoughts, reaction. I know we kind of fire-hose people a bit for 90 minutes with a lot of news and, you know, a lot of stuff to digest all at once, but initial reactions to the new Xbox experience, the games we showed. I'd love to kind of hear what people are thinking.
You knew what to recommend me.
Well, the new experience, is that totally replaces Blade's setup, or is that optional then?
The release won't be optional. However, one of the things that we sort of teased at the end, which we figured that the community would get, that people with more mainstream press wouldn't, is that we're actually putting all of the functionality that we had in the Blades inside the guide. So when we ship this fall, all of the stuff that you can currently do in your dashboard will still sort of be there in Blade form at the push of a button, even cooler because you can pull it up wherever you are.
If I could ask you guys, what exactly was the impetus for deploying this new dashboard? I mean, obviously there are a lot of new features that had to be integrated in some way, but were there any other factors in going with that particular route?
When we started the planning for 360 and we were designing, there's a lot of things that sort of went into it. I think we've listened to a lot of feedback from you guys on a bunch of features that we've done and on sort of what works and doesn't in the current design. The one that's interesting that really started to push on the bounds of where we were is we actually designed the original dashboard because we kind of thought, well, maybe we'll have like a couple hundred pieces of content in Marketplace. And now we're at 20,000. And, you know, the story I tell people a lot is I was showing my son Looney Tunes in our video marketplace. Great content. Can't find Looney Tunes very easily in other places. My 7-year-old loves it. I love it. We watch Roadrunner together. And my wife comes in, and she says, oh, is that on TiVo? Hell no, it's not on TiVo. It's on Xbox Video Marketplace. She said, oh, well, show me how to do it. And so I started showing her how to do it. The UI is very deep in finding that content. She's like, you know, I'm all out. I'm not doing that. It's too hard for me to get to. And as we've gotten all of this content, as third parties have sort of really embraced this idea of digital distribution and add-ons and all these things, it's just been very difficult to have all of the UI sort of support the ability to get to that content. So that was one of the key things that we thought about as we were pushing on it.
I know we have like a table back here, so don't tell you guys are left out.
I believe that's the kids' table.
That's still Thanksgiving for me, by the way. I sit at that table Thanksgiving.
I mean, maybe it might be good just to share some of the stuff that wasn't in the briefing. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, we put some of the stuff out, so you guys may have seen it as it's gone online. But a few of the things that we weren't able to get to. The first one sort of talked about, I think, the guide. Is really killer. You can pull it up. You can get to all of the content that we have in the dashboard. It's sort of your immediate way, you know, especially if you know where everything is. You're sort of an expert user and enthusiast to sort of go there as fast as you can. I mean, it even includes all of the content that's on your box, so you can directly, you know, boot into any of your other games or do any of that stuff right from your guide button without having to move through some sort of experience in the middle. And it's also, you know, it's going to be a lot faster. We've really spent some time on that experience to really, make sure we could pull out all of our functionality and put it there. So it's frankly what allows us to then sort of create the broader new dashboard experience, because we're able to sort of separate and then create this new, more visual experience for the primary dashboard. Another cool feature is we're introducing this feature called Play from Hard Drive, which will allow you to install any game that you want. It's optional, of course, but you can put any game that's ever shipped, any game that will ship, in the drive. It will copy to the hard drive, and then you can play from there, speed up your load times.
Game or games?
Games.
Games.
Okay.
No, I meant where you said game.
Sorry.
I didn't know if you meant one game.
No, absolutely not. No, yeah, you can...
That would suck.
Yes.
30 minute left.
That would not be a good thing, yes. But we've been using it around, and we're all loving it. I think the community will really enjoy being able to do that for the games that they want to.
And does that include even games that have already been released?
That's right. Every game.
What is the typical install chunk? Will people who have like a pro, the 20 gig models, be able to do multiple installs, or is it?
Well, you know, it's certainly games take up various sizes. So if you pick a game that's 5 or 6 gigabytes, then you're not going to put very many of them on a 20 gigabyte hard drive for certain. But there's lots of games that are actually quite smaller than that, and obviously. As the live guy, I'm super interested in all the storage options, and I think that we're bringing more to the table there as we continue to expand sort of our ambition around digital distribution and making sure that's super easy for everybody. So there's lots of things that are going to, you know, keep pushing there.
I would say the nice thing about that feature that I like is not only do you not have the drive spinning, but you also get faster load times off the hard drive, so performance improves in your template as well.
What happens with pre-existing things, like chargers or something like that, which you
do? We will show you guys more in the future for sure. But we're definitely going to still support your themes and gamer picks. I will tell you, themes look beautiful in the new UI. They look stunning. And we certainly don't want people to lose any of their sort of investment they made in gamer picks and themes. So they will all still be there.
Is the hard drive going to be required for the update?
The hard drive is not required. Live is always, let me step back. Anything that's live has always required storage. So that will continue to require storage no matter what. The experience itself for a pure offline user will not
So if you get an arcade SKU, you know, Christmas time or whatever, it'll have this new...
This fall it will be shipped as a live update. You know, at some point in the future we'll talk about how that gets onto the rest of the consoles and manufacturing logistics and all the other people work on. But certainly that's the
plan. Live update and then game discs.
Right.
And that doesn't save, it's a flash memory internally, right?
So that's right.
What's the difference in memory? Like, does it use much more power? Any difference?
It's not, you know, there's a lot of it that's sort of optional or comes when it's needed. We're not going through all the details on sort of how it works. We're still finalizing some of it, so get back with it later. It's not huge.
So assuming someone, for whatever reason, can't get their hands on this update, if they bought their Xbox last year and they never sign on to Live, I mean, they won't have any compatibility issues going into the future. They just might not.
No, absolutely not. It will definitely work. There's a question back at the back.
So
sorry.
The feature you're installing games from the disk to the hard drive, this is going to roll up with that update?
That's right.
And so, I mean, what stops, like, you know, I take my disk and I install my hard drive, and then my friend takes the disk and installs his hard drive?
You will still have to have the disk in if you want to play, and it's just for a check. So it'll spin up, check it, and check, and then spin back down.
And this will do result in...
Publishers would not be a happy friend of mine otherwise.
Yeah, no,
the gamers always have my hand.
I love it, but until, you know, everything's shut down.
Yeah, until no one shuts any more games, yeah.
So this is going to be decreasing load time? I mean, that's kind of the idea behind this?
Yeah, decreasing load times is the key part of it, yeah.
And so you're releasing Viva Pinata on Live Arcade later this year, is that right?
No, Viva Pinata is retail.
No, what he announced was that we're going to bring the original Banjo-Tooie Arcade.
Yeah, yes. Oh, okay. Yes,
and it will feature the stop and swap if people have played the old school Banjo. So.
Okay.
Well, I had a question about your video content. You made the announcement about NBC Universal, and obviously with Netflix partnering up. Now, something I think I asked Aaron this like a year ago was subscriptions, especially with TV shows. Mm-hmm. It would just be more of an incentive if I knew I paid a flat, I don't know, 10 or 20 bucks per month, and I knew I could watch all my TV shows via that way. So is that something that's in consideration, or?
Well, the cool thing is like with Netflix, that's actually how it will work, right? Netflix actually has a ton of television content in their Instant Watch feature, and it's something they continue to push on really hard. And part of what we've thought about as we, you know, think about our partners, both in the current Xbox Live video marketplace as well as bringing on a great partner like Netflix is frankly to give people more of that choice. Like, here's some stuff that you can do if you want rental. Here's what you can do if you want VOD. Here's what you can do if you want a subscription offering.
Now, but Netflix is only going to be standard definition, correct?
Yeah, but it's DVD, near pretty much DVD quality streaming.
Well, I guess I'm looking at this in a selfish standpoint right now. You know, I'm a videophile, so I like everything in HD. So right. That's, again, if I could have my TV, like Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
If I knew I could be able to get all the Battlestar Galactica episodes via Marketplace in a subscription form, it would be more incentive for me to do that instead of waiting on the Blu-ray or something like that.
It's great feedback. I think where we are is we're continuing to experiment with the right business models there.
Right.
We'll keep sort of pushing on it. I will say, you know, the Netflix, Netflix thinks a lot about it. You know, HD as well, and frankly, I think we all understand part of what your network connection more than anything else. That's the only thing that's really stopping that. And when you think of that instant watch, and so we believe in that same future.
And because you didn't talk about this during the press conference, IPTV, what are we looking at in North America?
I don't think we have any other details to announce on that right now.
So the technology exists,
right.
But we're waiting for the IPTV to be rolled out. I mean, it's pretty, you know, the rollout of IPTV globally has been pretty slow. So, but we have, when we showed the Xbox can integrate, it does function with set-top box. We do have some partners that have announced that they're using it, but it's a pretty slow adoption of the technology right now.
So how this is going to work with Netflix watching movies online with other people on Xbox Live?
Well, to be clear, you all have to be sort of Netflix subscribers. But if you are, you just join me and it starts. You know, within 5 seconds, you're at the same point, the same movie that I am. You're in the same Xbox Live party, and you can sort of share that entire experience. It's actually super smooth. You don't have to have the same movie in your queue. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. It all sort of works on the back end.
Is it like Mystery Science Theater 3000? You got the little thing there?
Totally.
Awesome.
We really like.
Is it a one-time login to Netflix from your box that follows your gamertag type of thing? Or?
Yeah, what you'll see is you'll get this code. You'll go to the console. You'll get this code. You'll type that into your account on Netflix, and we'll sort of link those two together so that it has them sort of set up, and then you're all done.
How many people can?
We could actually show it to you guys here. We've got it up and running. If maybe you want to just throw it over here.
So that's 8 people can do that, right?
That's right. Yeah, Xbox Live parties, groups of 8. And, you know, frankly, when we go down to that feature as well, to me, it's one of the most requested features that we've ever had since we've been listening to the community since Live launched. Everybody's been asking us forever, when are we going to have out-of-game voice lobbies? And, you know, the way that we've sort of pitched it back is, I think it's crazy that there has to be any moment that you're sort of not in that lobby, that any place in the dashboard can't be the place that you decide to hang out, that any experience can't be the place that you decide to hang out. So I think that's going to be, you have to go up.
Yeah, drive.
Thank you.
We have now moved into real live running code. So.
Do not to. Yeah.
You okay with pictures?
Just to do that. Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's up and running with the stuff that we stuck in the queue a while ago. Over here in Netflix, we could also add anything into the queue, immediately updated within the console, and you can immediately start watching. So find us something to watch there.
Okay.
What I'll do now is I will move. I'll move Gracie up to the top, right here on the PC.
Oh, so you have to connect this on your network to a PC?
No.
No, these aren't connected at all together.
This is directly to the internet.
The box is connected to, or the console is talking to Netflix.
So what we're going to show you is this is the queue that I've set up all the movies I want to watch. Then I'm going to change the order and move the movie up. And so I'll go ahead and hit update landing queue. And so what you'll see is that within about 5 seconds, the queue here that I've updated on my PC will instantly update the priority of the queue here on Netflix. So just give it a second.
And you can add anything in. You can put it anywhere in there. And then we could go to any of these movies.
Can you add it from the Xbox?
Right now, we're going to start with adding it from the Netflix website. The queue management will all be there.
So
it's how Netflix users
watch movies. You have to go to the PC and tell it what you want to watch, or can you randomly browse Netflix on a 360?
You can browse your entire queue. So the thing you have to think is that Netflix subscribers, like their fundamental experience around Netflix. Dare I say canonical experience around Netflix?
Oh my god.
She made me promise I wouldn't use the word canonical. It is around their queue and sort of the delivery of that queue and sort of playing around with it. So this is sort of the view of your queue on your console in your living room. If you want to mess with your queue from their website, you do it in the same way that the tools that they've always had to do it.
But once you set up your queue, most people have a huge list of movies, so they will go to their Xbox and see.
It's gonna work.
Okay.
You're watching people watch.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Are you trying to? You accusing me?
No.
So are those streaming or are those on hard drive?
Those are all streaming. Yeah, they're all directly pulled from the service and then immediately starts
somewhere inside Xbox right now.
It's streaming. Now, what the way it works is they'll actually pick the right bit rate based on your bandwidth, since we're in the techie crowd here, right? Based on your bandwidth to the internet, they'll pick the right bit rate and start streaming it immediately. And they'll improve as your experience gets better.
Is this using Netflix's servers, or are you guys?
This is all off of Netflix's servers.
So are they ramping up their?
Netflix very excited, and and so are we. And yes, we're definitely we're spending a lot of time together operationally and how all of these things come together in the right way.
Can you still watch like movie trailers now on Netflix? You have the movie space and you can hit the preview and you can see trailers off of your 360. Let's say you just want to preview and do your queue.
That's a great question. I have to get back to you.
Okay.
So the entire Netflix library that's available for Instant Queue will work on your 360.
That's right.
What are you trying to do? I was just going to exit out. But...
Well, I was going to pull the guy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, your friends can watch these movies with you. If you have a live party, you can pull them.
That's right.
Do they have to be Netflix?
They do.
They do.
Yes.
Is there something, is there a way that you can watch movies with your friends that aren't in the Netflix stuff? They're just the movies that are served off the Xbox Live or cable.
The only details we're announcing today is really the part that works with Netflix. But, the core thing that I would tell you guys, we believe in this idea of socially, people staying together and sharing their experiences. And I think you will see us really push on that. This is, frankly, stuff we're doing now, just to start. Lots of work that we believe we can continue to do to delight the audience, delight our community, and we're going to be pushing really hard here.
Does any of this change Windows Media Center functionality or anything like that?
No, all of the same ways that you've been able to connect the console, Windows Media Connect, Windows Media Center.
A while to do that.
Do what? Yeah, with the this is a little more integrated.
So are you guys going to, is it going to be equal or higher or whatever quality than the Roku box? Have you guys done any side-by-sides with that streaming?
Well, the streaming will be the same quality. It's because it's the server side. Yeah, that's right.
Servers.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like quick launch option. Is that for the
quick launch allows, was sort of what I was telling you, make sure that all of the content experiences that you have on your box are one button click away from you. So anything you have installed, think that you're in Uno and you want to go play, Rush. And you want to go play Geometry Wars 2. today, the way you do that, you exit out of that game, you go back in, it would enumerate all the games, you go back through and you click it. What we wanted to make sure you could do is hit the button, go to your next game, launch it, get right into your games. I mean, a big part of what we've been thinking about is how do we lower all of these barriers? How do we make it easier for people to stay connected? How do we make it easier for you to get to your content? How do we make it easier for you to play?
You're playing Xbox Live Arcade, a retail title, you pop that open, you can start something else.
That's right.
Yeah. And the thing I love about that experience is that I don't have to go back to the dash, go into our game, set up a private match, or launch the game, and then re-invite my friends. The way this really works is that, when I go into, say, Uno, I launch the game for all my friends, so they don't have to do anything. It's a really simple experience, and the idea, as Mark was saying, is that, we know, obviously, the functionality today has been done, worked really well with the core owners, but as you start to think about new users and new buyers and we come into the Xbox experience, you know, we want to really make it simple and easy for them. So, you know, they'll probably spend less time. They're looking for a variety of gaming and entertainment experiences. So stuff like Netflix, being able to share photos, to be able to play games together, all that is important for them as well.
So this is going to be the in-game dash in every, like, all the games and pretty much everything you do that takes you away from the main dashboard.
It's a new guy.
Yeah, this is what happens when you hit the button on the controller.
Instead of it sliding out from the left, it comes out from the middle.
And no more wiper blades.
For existing themes, it's on the movies will work on that, right?
They absolutely will.
They'll just be scaled to fit.
If you hit the button, they want to see it come in.
Yeah.
There are screenshots. There's some assets up on ProSource and the Xbox.
It will be lots smoother.
Yeah, this is.
You can argue that we're taking this is, what is almost the current dashboard experience and building an entire thing into the guide.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if you're used to the blades, that's them right there.
Right.
And even more functionality.
Yeah.
That's what I know. It's smoother and faster. Marketplace blades also will be able to run marketplace while playing again.
There are certain things that if the game. No. Yeah, if you want
to get there are limits.
If you're going to go to something that requires like really heavyweight, I need to go browse through a whole bunch of content. Halo 3 didn't hang out with enough extra space for us to go do that in. So, you know, for those things, it would exit. But at least you can get to the place that you want to go without having to go navigate through some other sort of intermediate screen.
So, you can take your party from place to place. How does that work with games that were designed with this in mind? Does it still work if I'm playing Uno Rush, and then I'm going to go take those people into Halo 3.
The cool part, I mean, to me, this is what we get for having invested so much in the service and the back end. Because, frankly, these features are built on the work that we've been doing. They're built on Rich Presence. They're built on the invitation system and on some of the matchmaking work. And so we've already built a lot of the sort of plumbing to go make those things happen. And now we're driving more of that social out. Like, how do we, you know, push features on top of that that sort of drive that? And the cool part about it is, you know, then from day one when we thought we're going to put this guide on there, it's a consistent experience. You don't have to look at the back of the box to see, does it support this feature?
So to be clear, the party system will work with older games?
It will.
Mm-hmm. We'll work with every Xbox 360.
So it'll dump you in their lobby, or?
Well, the guide and live is built into the platform, not into the games. So what the live party feature is leveraging that same exact infrastructure.
We will bring you guys out and do a deeper dive on some of this so that you guys can play around with it. As we get a little further along in the code, I think you'll get a good sense of how it's going to work.
What about when you build a group and you're all chatting together? Can you do video chatting together?
We're not announcing any details on that today. It's canonical.
That would be good. Just saying, I know it's happening, so I just wanted to see if he was going to say it was.
I have a question about Prime Time. I believe the game was one versus 100. That's a completely free service, or is it something you need to opt into?
So we're not announcing details on all of the pricing and specific availability on those games. But the cool part about those experiences is just this idea that you're playing with everybody at the same time.
Right.
At 7 o'clock, you know, tonight it's different than it was last night. That it changes over time. That you can win real prizes.
And that's a download game.
It's part of the
effectively a channel, more or less.
Yeah.
It's non-disc at all.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
It's a whole new category of games, frankly, right?
Right.
You have arcade games that you download digitally, retail games, and now with this sort of on-demand or...
It's a cloud, basically. The game's running.
It's what you get when you get to a point where you have a ton of people that are connected to the service, and you have that sort of rich, you know, the rich service that's in the cloud. You have a bunch of people connected together. You start to be able to sort of imagine, you know, what is it like when I think of that TV experience where I shout at the TV because I know the answer, and instead I can go, you know, play the game.
What about the prizes though? The prizes in the game.
Yeah, the real prizes.
Yeah.
That's the end of the details on the real prizes.
Okay.
And in the future, there will be more prizes details.
Okay.
Xbox 360. And it will be hosted by a live host.
That's right. And hosted by a live host.
All right, cool.
What do you mean by live host?
There'll be a real person there talking to you while you're playing.
Somebody on Microsoft's end or like me if I'm on Xbox Live or something
like
that?
No, it's going to be professional.
Yeah, it'll be professional. Yeah.
And it's not
going to let wrong with that.
It's not Major Nelson.
We may have a curtain call.
He's angry. He heard there was some screen time.
Your game show voice.
We're in discussions right now.
My people were talking to his people. All
right. Well, my second part to that was, and this is really overall for the new dashboard, everything with the avatars, what does this mean for Silver members?
Well, the cool thing is everybody gets to experience all the updates just like we've always done. Make sure that that goes out to everyone. You know, take an example like avatars, which is a core platform feature, works in a bunch of games, also works online. Now, we think it's super cool when you go and play multiplayer experiences that support all of those, but there's also lots of great on-the-couch experiences that will support them, lots of ways it's just sort of fun to play around with them, lots of ways it's just part of your sort of personalization thing. The user experience as well, in just terms of finding the content that you want to play more. Like, one thing we see is there's a big, big segment of Silver users that really like a lot of the downloadable content stuff. But again, it's a little hard to find the right content, and so they get all of that experience as well. They get the great new guide. They get, you know, we make sure we get all of that stuff out to them, and then, you know, we're...
Can a Silver play 1 versus 100?
Yeah. No, it's a multiplayer game experience.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you get into a multiplayer experience, requires gold.
Can you talk more about the inspiration, I guess, behind the avatars? And because I really don't enjoy them. Like,
I guess feel about that.
It just seems like to me, it's like, okay, you saw what Sony was doing and Nintendo, I guess, in that respect, and tried to do your own version of it. And for those people who consider themselves, you know, hardcore or whatever, and we, you know, they don't like that, is there a way to, like, not participate, or how do you, foresee that whole thing go?
Well, first couple of questions you asked there. The first one I'll say is it goes back to your original question, which is we're going to make sure that your themes and gamer picks and you know, are still supported. And if that's how you want to show up, you know, take those screen, those the party cards that were up at the top of the screen, right? Like, they had the face shot of the avatars. It could be your gamer. It could be your gamer pick instead. Still in the guide and your friends list and all that stuff, you would still have the opportunity to express yourself with gamer pick that you've already picked out, or how you like to talk about yourself. The avatar system, I would say, you know, moving back, and you know, there's avatars in a lot of different places around the world. We've certainly looked at them for a long time. Number one thing I would tell you guys, we've always thought about identity and personalization from day one, when we thought, hey, everybody has to have the same game. Your gamer tag is sort of a cross experience, you know, part of you. It sort of goes across the platform. You know, it was all about who you are and how you show up on the system. We had huge, huge debates early on about can I have multiple aliases, and no, we want it to be about personalization and identity and how do I show up. So we moved to 360, we added a bunch of stuff in there, gamer score and achievements and motto and bio and all of that stuff. And frankly, every time we've added any of that stuff, people have used it, loved it, asked us for more. We think this is a good sort of drive from that to continue that sort of world of letting people personalize and, you know, inviting not only the current people that are on the console, but everyone to come in.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, hey, we realize avatars in themselves are not new, but what's unique is that we're integrating avatars into this social community of 12 million, and we're integrating them into arcade games, retail games, prime time, and, you know, you think about today, I go and I look at my friends that are online. I just see text, right? So providing a visual representation of my friends that when they come online, their avatar appears. If they change their outfit or unlock something, whatever, it, you know, it appears. So I mean, it's a very sort of, you know, a cool way to create your own, you know, character, personalize it based on your own style, what you like, you know, get crazy, have fun, change it up, and that's what people see. So, you know, I mean, I think that rather than just seeing your name in a list of text, it does provide a little bit more ability to kind of personalize that.
Well, there's an idea there. What about, let's say, if I buy up every piece of property in Fable 2, could I unlock, say, a new hat or something for my avatar? Is that something you're looking into?
Yeah, we're going to give you guys more details on it later, but we're very excited, and our partners are very excited about what they could do with the system.
And they also stole trophies from Sony and in-game dashboard and all that stuff, too.
So what about MS-2002?
Yeah. Now, are we telling them about how Marcus Fenix shows up as an avatar in Gears?
Right. No. Oh. Well,
don't worry. Yeah.
Well, he
brought up Sony, and in this sense, since they've kind of talked about this with Home, with this new avatar system, I know you had, like, the party room where
people
you could share photos.
This, though.
Right. But would there, for the hardcore gamer, would
you
there...
Write the, sorry, I'm going to have you write the answer.
No, but for, like, the hardcore gamer with Halo 3 or Gears of War 2 or something like that, could there be kind of a clan support outside of the game, where guys can get together with their avatars, plan out things before they actually jump into the game.
So I think that, you know, this is the key features that we're announcing today. I will tell you that a couple things that I think a lot about. I love the idea of social and how it's synchronous, how it happens when we're not together. I love all of those ideas, and I think you will see us go really deep there. I think, you know, I think things like virtual worlds are an interesting play, and if someone wants to go to one, they should. For us, I would say the key thing has been about how do we lower barriers, right? How do we make it? What we've been designing is, how do I put stuff up closer to people? How do I make it fewer button presses? How do I get people together with their friends and get them moving into the experiences that they want faster? And that's core to everything that we've done. We used to count 8 button presses in the original dashboard and with games. And we used to write certification requirements that say, you have to take that screen out, there's too many 8 button presses. And a lot of that is something that's sort of continued today. It's like, how do you stop all of that stuff so that you get to the stuff you want to do?
Right. Well, people asked us for a group lobby chat, right? And that's what Live Party is. You can create a party, chat with up 8 people, jump into a game of Halo. I mean, that's the idea behind it. But allowing you to take those shared experiences deeper with photos and movies and things like that.
Well, I can tell you one thing. This goes back to the original Xbox when you had the 16-room voice chat.
Yeah.
Like, say, NFL playoffs or something. And we'd all jump in there and watch the games together and talk amongst each other. And that's something I've always missed since it's been on the 360.
Well, people use live chat to play Smash Brothers.
Right.
Tons of people. They're like, oh, just get an Xbox. And I'm like, you don't see a fundamental problem.
But now,
just like, that doesn't drive you nuts. Like,
now 8 people.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Miyamoto makes this shit with gloves and clouds. Whatever. Don't be scared a bit, basically.
Gloves and clouds.
Pikachu and Mario make every Wii with soft, fluffy gloves made out of clouds. And they ride them in on a unicorn.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're on. Yeah.
I mean,
there's always this moment in every lunch or breakfast.
Final Fantasy, you know, Resident Evil, those games will never make it to Xbox 3. Metal Gear Solid, they'll never make it to the Xbox 360. Ever. Ever.
We have a list on a whiteboard at work of all the titles people said we would ever get, and we'll cross off one by one. We crossed off the big one.
Definitely.
Did you guys see that coming?
No. Did not see that one coming.
No comment. It'll never happen.
Zelda will be next, right?
You should ask Konami that question.
Aaron had to carry around those tapes for the last 3 days. It was like the football. He was like the football for the president. He was walking around with it. We'd always...
So you only
trust the tapes.
They have debug kits in the office just for research.
That's right.
Just in case.
Yeah. So one other thing, let's see, we still haven't said everything. So one other feature that I put out in the mail, you guys might have seen, is we're also putting all of Marketplace on the web. And the web version of Marketplace, you can get to everything, you can preview your movies, you can buy, you can push to your box directly for there. So as you think, you know, there's two prongs to this idea of how that number we gave, 500 million downloads, by the way, 80% of those done by third parties, like huge ecosystem that's going to continue to push that content in. You know, now you can say, wow, I want this visual, super visual, you know, scroll through it like I do a retail store view on the dashboard, or I want to use my computer, I'm at work, I want to get the new stuff, get it pushed to the console. So we've been having a lot of fun with that feature, actually. It's really good.
We're having to live anywhere. Phone and all that stuff.
You know, the all we've been doing at this press briefing is trying to figure out how to make it fit into the amount of time that we had. So we're very focused on some Xbox-specific announcements today, but we'll continue to talk later.
With the Marketplace on the web, just to clarify, so if I'm at work, you know, I should be working, right? If my Xbox is off at
Xbox
home...
Xbox is kind of work for you, right?
A little bit. We're getting there.
That's why I told my wife.
But I would be able, with my Xbox being off at home, be able to say, all right, I want this movie. So once I go home, I turn it on, it automatically starts to download.
So, yeah, it will start to download, right? We can't turn the box on from the web. But it will put it in that download queue that we've obviously had in the console is now stored in Xbox Live. And so you can update it on the fly. You can change the order. You can do whatever you want with it to make sure it's pushing down stuff.
Xbox.com.
So it's a similar system like Halo 3 does with downloading content and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Except it's the entire marketplace, so you could order a movie for that night, buy an arcade
including game. Watch the previews.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So you can log in and spend your points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to see anything with the Zune and 360 marketplace in the future?
I mean, right now we have compatibility with the Zune, but they're focused on a different experience. So I think to Mark's point, like, we're pretty focused on making Xbox 360 experience as a device to have the most games entertainment than anything else connected to your TV. And I think that, you know, come this holiday, you'll find that we're really there. When you add all up, Primetime Channel, Netflix, all the games that we're launching, all the new arcade titles, the retail games, I think it will be hard to compare any other device.
You haven't said anything about the MSN also, and this...
It's the Messenger?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's still... It's definitely still there. Yeah, that's okay. Right. No fun... We have removed zero functionality from the console as we did the...
And the credit to Mark's team, I think, you know, if you look at, like, the list of all the features, like the Play from Hard Drive, the Marketplace web features, like, all these... Like, there's almost an entire fall update of features that they have in here.
It's not almost.
It is.
Separate from... But that standalone would be a fall update before even adding the entire new experience. Yeah. So
what happens when somebody sends you a message on there? Like, the little bloop that pops up?
You still get the
same exact thing.
That's right. And actually, the other thing is there'll be other ways that you can see more of that text immediately when it comes up. So we love our achievement. We love our little pop. We love our toasts. We definitely don't want to lose those. They're part of our identity. You still get those. They'll also show up in your message center card where you'll be able to sort of read that quickly.
How customizable is this dashboard here? Do our themes affect this, or is the themes affecting that the guide that pops up at the...
No, the themes affect this as well.
This? Oh, really?
And they're beautiful.
Okay.
Where are the ads going to go? Are they pop right
now? Actually, it's pre-roll, so like there's like 10 minutes of ads before. Really, really amazing. But they're great ads, I promise.
We had to pay for it somehow.
In-game advertising is coming pretty soon.
I know you guys talked about the streaming with Netflix and stuff, and you brought up the Zune point. Is there any look towards like that Pandora service where you can customize the music jukebox on your Xbox, and maybe something?
The only thing I'd say is, again, as you think about our future, we really believe a lot in a variety of entertainment experiences, and sort of especially the social experience that moves around those.
Cool.
You have to prioritize. I mean, at the end of the day, right? I think we're delivering a lot of new stuff here.
Yeah.
Had to get rid of the spring update.
I use that. It almost feels like the end goal is to kind of pull you away from your PC and have like the Xbox be the main hub.
Well, I seriously believe that the 360, with Xbox Live is the best value in your living room, right? I mean, it's more content, more of these experiences than you've ever had on any device ever. And it is very critical to us that we make sure that that's easy, that everybody can see that. I would tell you that all of you guys know that you can show photos on your console. And frankly, showing your photos on a game console is one of the best ways to show them because they're beautiful and they look high def versus putting those little RGB cables directly to your TV or something. But people don't know that, right? So part of this is I've listened to large numbers of the people don't actually understand all of what the console can do. And so part of all of these things is how do we push up all this box can do for you in the house? How do we make sure that, my goal, very simple, everybody fights over it in the house.
Can you save those photos to your hard drive?
Do what?
Can you save them to your hard drive yet?
We're not going deeper on the details on photos today.
Killing me. I got a question.
They kept me in this little box. She has this box written here. It's very
small. Browse the internet on Xbox?
Why would you need to browse the internet?
I'm just asking. Oh, can you browse the internet on Xbox?
Do you want to browse the internet on your Xbox 360?
Can you browse the internet?
I'm not releasing a web browser.
Okay. That's not what I asked, though. Can you browse the internet on Xbox 360? You know you can.
The technical answer is yes if you use your Media Center.
Can you?
Yeah. Just use Media Center. It's worked day one, and nobody does it.
I do think keyboard, Media Center. There's something else kind of special about this that people don't realize too is that we have a very powerful box that's delivering HD games. We have broadband internet built in. We have storage. We're even increasing the size of our storage with our Pro console. And so, completely reinventing the Xbox experience all through the power of software, has really never been done like this before in consumer electronics history. I mean, I think offline or online users would get an entirely new Xbox, and so I think there is something, pretty revolutionary about that. I think it'll be good to get people's feedback and to continue as we evolve that, but what we're doing with this, I mean, hope people don't lose that it's something that's really never been done before.
Just do this.
What are you guys calling it?
the new Xbox experience.
That's like the official name.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. We don't want people to think to go buy new hardware or anything like that. I mean, it's still an Xbox. It's just that, you know, when you bought, I'll think about it this way. When I bought my MP3 player a year ago, or my cell phone 3 months ago, that experience hasn't changed. In order for me to get a better experience, I have to buy new hardware, right? And so the great thing about this is that the platform is designed for continuous innovation. So through these spring and fall updates, we've added features, but now we're actually making your console better over time. And so, you know, what we're delivering this fall, a year from now, will be even better. And so that's sort of the beauty of the experience.
Well, how do you push this message? Because you talk about things being complex and people not knowing how to use the video marketplace now or something like that. How do you get this message out to mom that there's this box that can do all these wonderful things and it's really easy to do now? They're pretty complex things it can do. How do you push that?
Well, so there's a couple ways that we talked about. The first way is I wanted to have an end result such that when my wife walked into the room and asked me that question, I could actually walk her through it and be, you know, the best marketing you get is people that use the product that share it with other people. And so we started with we want a ton of that. We want the stuff coming up to the front so that if you come in and you see it, you can see more of those options. Like the idea of being able to see that I can do music and movies and photos much, much closer to front was sort of a core part of how we thought about that. When we've actually done a lot of testing and research and usability and asking both our current audience and new audience, and you get a lot of interesting insight into how willing people are to, like, explore UI and what that UI needs to look like to drive them down. So we did that. The other thing is we're very proud of Xbox Live, and we're going to push it and push the vision that it creates much harder.
So, I mean, when you hear about polls and things where people who have an Xbox don't even know that Xbox Live Arcade is there, I think it's more likely that the average person is going to at least find it when he opens up this
UI. That's part of it, is how do we bubble up a lot more, bubble it up and make it more visual so that it pops for people. People don't like reading a lot of text. And, you know, you take an example of the way you guys saw when we did the briefing where we looked at the games marketplace and it looked like box shots that you could scroll through. People understand that. They understand the visual idea there. They understand the idea of it's more fun to explore, right, to go through that. And so it's starting with those types of cues to sort of drive people to, hey, it does all these things. You know, go find out more. And not feeling like you're going to get lost when you do that.
Right. It's also designed so you can just use a remote controller. People aren't familiar with a controller. Simple up, down, left, right navigation. You go up to different channels. You navigate left and right. So it's very intuitive for people that aren't used to it.
So with the marketplace, is it going to fundamentally be just like this, where you're going to have to, you know, scroll through all these titles?
Can you bring up a list if you want?
Yeah.
You will be able to do both.
Okay.
How many avatars do you do per gamertag? Can you do more than one?
I don't think we're releasing the details.
Oh, okay.
Outside the box.
Okay.
In the box.
Right.
They told me, stay in your box.
There's a lot. We've got some time between now and this fall, so.
Welcome you guys in.
Okay. Here's your chance to get feedback, though.
What
is there a need for two, you think?
No, I'm just curious. Okay.
Yeah. What if you're playing and you have a guest?
What was the question?
With you? Could they have an avatar?
We've certainly your ability to create profiles on the boxes, you know.
Multiple profiles.
Yeah, that's right.
Avatars,
yeah, that's right. You'll still be able to do all of that. He's standing up there in case you guys happen to take a picture. I don't know if you noticed.
Stand in the back.
Making sure.
With all this extra glimmer on the dashboard, how is the speed of the experience? Not the current dashboard, that there are times when it can be really chunky.
How does
this impact that?
We've been pushing very hard on performance. We believe that fundamental to having this great experience is that it's fast, it just flows, it's very simple. You know, I think I got 120 games in my arcade, and I do not like waiting for them to show up.
Right.
And you will not. They will be there. You will flow through it. It will be great.
Can you tile sizes are, like, way bigger than those little tiny arcade icons, right?
Yeah, we're spending a lot of time on the right way to get that to the box. Part of what's cool about the team I run is it's a deeply technical, you know, team. We've built all of the core architecture, both of the box itself as well as the live service, and we've got some pretty good performance people, so we've been spending some time there.
Yeah, there are rumors that there's a pretty good graphics chip in that box, I think, in the Xbox.
hardware.
I've just heard that before.
So do you think you've completely eliminated that the jitter that sometimes you get between, obviously you don't have the sliding bars but do you think you've eliminated those jitters with this new?
I'm certainly very focused on, I'm not sure I want to be quoted on this. I'm certainly very focused on performance. And there's lots of ways that we've already pushed very hard there, and it's something that's going to be it's a huge part of what the team's working on. And it's great already. I mean, right now it's actually quite quite nice, and we're not done.
You'd mentioned that part of the reason for this update was making content easier to find on the marketplace. And we also heard that the difficulty finding content was part of the reason that Xbox Live Arcade games are going to be removed from the marketplace. So
who said that?
is that being changed now, or are those games not going to be removed at this point? Or
so the thing I will tell you is, I think what you can see with things like Xbox Live Community Games, we are big, big fans of long tail, of digital distribution, of getting more content in there. I want million pieces of content in my marketplace, and we're doing a lot of work in the user experience to make sure that we can get there. Like that bridged way.
No games
from the kids' table.
There have been no games that have been
from
missed.
The kids' table. That doesn't sound like an answer.
We're not sharing additional details.
Well, let me ask.
But that was a fun press release, by the way. I enjoyed that one. Mark Whitten, evil person. He gives you undertow and delists your arcade games.
Well, let me ask this: with this update and everything that's coming on, and obviously the community games, coming from XNA, how much closer are we to Velocity Girl?
Aaron, you tell me.
I was like, you get to answer that question, and then you just throw it right over to me.
I only ask that because we get a lot of listeners and readers that send us feedback.
Yeah.
Well, they promised that we'd be able to make our own skate parks and T-shirts and all this other kind of stuff. Sure. When is that coming?
Well, I think our focus right now is allowing people to make games, and that's the most natural fit, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah.
That's it. Here it is. Straight up. We believe deeply, deeply, deeply in user-generated content. Xbox Live Community Games is, a fundamental change in the industry. The idea that anybody can publish and develop their own games and put them on a game console with zero friction is, amazing.
Do the XNA membership to do that?
You can download the tools for free.
Okay. And use them on your PC, right? Not... But you can't play them on your Xbox unless you bought a membership, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Buy the membership.
Creating your game is free.
No, I mean, I have to play Mario and stuff like that.
Sharing it with the world costs money.
Nobody talks about the homebrew mark on the 360, but it's phenomenal.
Well, we can tell you, from playing with some of those games, you saw those.
It's a lot of fun.
They are, there's a lot of really fun.
Word Soup is a lot of fun.
I mean,
these games
are just,
and there's some crazy, I don't know, you guys should actually spend some time up on the site. There's some great, great stuff up there. And it's going to be really cool.
Those are the games that won in New York at the community gaming thing recently or whatever?
The ones that we showed?
There was something,
I'm not sure if it matched. I'm not sure how they chose those specifics that Gabrielle chose.
Were those done by Microsoft or were those done?
No, those are all community
games. There was a contest on it.
Oh, you mean like the Dream Build Play? Dishwasher, right? One of the key winners of Dream Build Play. They actually got a professional publishing contract. They're coming out to arcade.
When's that coming to live?
I think it's this
year?
Fall. Yeah,
I think it's this year.
Yeah.
Wait, do you guys remember Jelly Car? Mm-hmm. The guy that made Jelly Car is actually made. God, I'm not going to get the name right, but it's something like Jelly Puzzle or something like. But it's similar. It's like a puzzle style game where the jelly pieces drop and you have to slide them in little slots and you got to get them match up like. Other games of that, like Tetris and other things like that. It's, puzzle style game, but with jelly pieces. It's really fun.
Amazing. I mean, there's a game for 4-year-olds up there. There's tons of
music games
stuff.
The community has made.
Schizoid wasn't that first prototype released or
Schizoid is the first
X-Men.
Arcade game completely built
that's
on XNA.
And out last week.
Yep.
Yeah. Are we gonna see a GoldenEye? Anytime.
Yeah.
360.
Yep.
Yeah?
Ron's confirming it in case you didn't catch
it.
Anybody
want to
make a wager? Not by the end of the year, though.
Well, I have an Xbox Live Arcade question in general. There was an announcement they're going to bring the original Banjo to the arcade, which is great. But what about original titles. Like, say, I'm just going to use Banjo as an example, like an original Banjo platforming game on the arcade versus going to retail, where maybe it's not as long and as deep as when you get in retail, but just something that keeps the franchise going.
Do you mean a platformer? You mean that?
Right. Like, I'm just using Banjo as an example, but like a Banjo pure platformer that comes out on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, I don't have any details on that particular one. I mean, I do think there's some great.
You guys are making a South Park game.
Yeah, right? Well, and there's some great. I mean, Castle Crashers, right? About to, you know.
What's up with the South Park game? Why was it so
short? It's a teaser.
Wait, was that an accident?
And we were.
What do you have a teaser?
Have you ever tried to get approval from 1,000 people?
Yeah,
we have. You end up with
it was actually the original cut was 3 hours, but a lot of people had it.
Did you try to negotiate what it is?
That's right.
Like what type of game it is or anything?
Yeah, we're not ready to announce the details on the game, but it's coming along quite well. Matt and Trey are actually very involved, and it's going to be fun.
Talk behind the scenes. How long has Final Fantasy 13 been in the works? It's been speculated for a long time.
About the game, I'm the live guy.
Or? No, I mean just specifically knowing that it's heading to the Xbox.
Well, we announced in Japan last month this deeper relationship with Square, so we're obviously excited to have three of their big titles coming in addition to that. You know, Infinite and the Discovery exclusive, Last Remnant, shipping first and only on Xbox this holiday, and then they even announced Star Ocean. I think that's
Star Ocean. Really?
Probably top five RPG franchise.
Yeah.
The next Star Ocean coming to Xbox in spring. It's been announced as an Xbox 360 title, so you'd have to ask them. Has not been announced for any other platform. So I don't know what that means, but I know that we're getting it in spring, and that's about all I can say. But I think Final Fantasy is going to be huge, the fact that we'll have that at launch. It's another one of those big franchises that we've seen move over. We'll have our first Resident Evil game ever, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of big franchises that had deep heritages on the PlayStation platform that, you know, we're really excited to bring, you know, in the sense as we know, you guys are gamers like we are, right? We want to play all these games. We want to create the best console with the best games and the best entertainment. And so part of that is bringing Resident Evil, bringing Final Fantasy, bringing all these titles, bringing Grand Theft Auto over. I mean, it's here, we loved it, but that took a lot of work, too, so... You know, I think that's a big part of the thinking behind that.
One thing that I think you heard in that part of the briefing in particular is the number of titles that are coming out with co-op. And, you got Resident Evil, you've got Gears with the five-player co-op, which is going to be killer. You've got the stuff Peter was talking about with Fable and bringing that in. And co-op, great example of social experiences for enthusiast gamers, for more people, let people of different skills come in together and play. Every time we've seen a game do a great job with co-op, it has been a phenomenal experience on Xbox Live.
One more thing, the Grand Theft Auto stuff today in the presentation said by the end of the year. It's not what Rockstar's saying. Spring.
Rockstar has a fiscal quarter, so they announced it moved out of their fiscal quarter. Their next fiscal quarter starts in November, so they said they moved out of their fourth quarter fiscal quarter, but their fiscals are not matching up to the calendar year. So people got confused by that. They're just basically saying it won't ship before November.
Telling their investors that.
Correct.
Yep.
Are you talking about Portal still alive at all right now?
That was an awesome announcement.
That was awesome.
The man you have to thank for that is sitting right there.
I just know you guys. Geometry Wars, Portal, big fan. I waited for the service to turn on. When we launched the 360, so I could be the first person to score a million points on Geometry Wars. Straight up. Like, they erased the boards, I waited for it to flip, started my game, got my 12 achievements, got my million. And Portal, I mean, oh my god, what a phenomenal game. So I'm super excited about those coming. We'll share more details.
If you guys want to spend an hour learning about what a complete nerd and hardcore gamer Mark is from his childhood, he's gone. I think you may be like everyone in like street cred on years of gaming and all the games you played. And yeah, so.
The gear, the better.
It's good. It's a good thing.
Still play Angband to go look that one up. Yep, to win.
Yeah, stuff I had to look up. So. It's awesome. Are we on time?
Yeah, we're actually got time for just a couple more questions.
I wanted to go back a little bit to the party system. If you have people in a party doing text chat and then you go, like the leader says, oh, let's go play Mono Rush and one of the people doesn't have it, does that like kick them out of the voice chat or does it send them to a page that says go buy Mono Rush or what does that do to them?
That one. We definitely so fundamentally, we don't want people to lose connection. It's really about being people first. And you know, the way I've sort of described this feature is this idea of if you want to go to a restaurant with your friends, you don't normally start by going to all the restaurants and seeing if your friends are there and then gather them up, right? We want people to start with their friends, go to the restaurant, and move together. Just because someone has to leave for a second, we don't want them to lose that sort of social connection. We want that to keep up. But certainly, you know, let them know, hey, here's a way you could go get that game. But that our group, you know, always staying connected, always staying in communication, very, very core to the experience we're building there.
What about episodic gaming? Like, for instance, you're seeing the Wii of all systems getting an episodic game this summer, and Penny Arcade just came out. But is that something that you're pursuing on a regular basis? Because Portal 2 is almost episodic.
We, you know, I will say we're, I am the biggest fan you're going to find of digital distribution in sort of any form that it could come. And I think, you know, you can call Rock Band and Guitar Hero episodic at some level. I mean, that's the way people are extending the value of those games for months and months and months and months and months and years, right? Especially as you think about that content flowing into the next series. We've certainly got the Penny Arcade stuff. And then, you know, you look at what Bethesda did with the original Oblivion, where the parts they added on were huge, you know, hours and hours long adventures, and, you know, I think they'll do the same kind of stuff with Fallout. So, yeah, exactly. So, big part of what we're going to do, and we'll keep pushing in those areas. I think you're seeing that we have reached and passed that tipping point of where, you know, every game or more and more games are going to have deep sort of online digital stories to keep those games fresh and for their community. And I think it's a super exciting world.
So we know we're meeting again with some of you. We have meetings scheduled with some of you to take you through demonstrations. We're also hanging out this afternoon. Mark has some time on his calendar, so if you'd want to extend the conversation, we're happy to oblige. Just talk to me afterward. But we do have to scoot, so feel free to drop any cards with me if you need any.